It's time now for Three Stories You Should Know, our weekly roundtable of the sports issues you might have missed. Joining me is Toronto Star sports columnist Bruce Arthur. Hi, Bruce.
Hello, Shira.
And sports writer Eric Malinowski. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Shira.
Eric, we're going to start with you. What do you have for us this week?
All right. Well, during his 22-year Major League Baseball career, Barry Bonds slugged more home runs than anybody else, but he also collected more walks than anybody else, 2,558. However, it may have been the walk he collected this week that may be his most satisfying yet. Back in April, it was a panel of 11 judges from the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals voted to overturn his conviction in 2011 on a charge of obstruction of justice. This was, of course, related to some grand jury testimony that he gave all the way back in 2003 about the federal Balco investigation into the use of performance-enhancing drugs. And the Department of Justice released a statement this week saying that they would not, in fact, be appealing that ruling. So the saga of Barry Bonds, convicted criminal, has formally come to a close. It's pretty easy to make the argument that, you know, this was a poor use of public funds. And I suppose, frankly, I would be surprised to see the government repeat this kind of investigation with such a fervor in the future.
Bruce, what do you think of that?
This is a fascinating case, partly because this is the closest we ever came to seeing an athlete go to jail for lying about steroids, especially someone this high profile. And the real hero is probably Greg Anderson, Bonds' trainer, who did time in prison more than once and never turned on his employer. I mean, if Greg Anderson had testified, this might have been over a long time ago. This kind of ends the Barry Bonds saga on this side of the coin. Now there's the question of his reintroduction into baseball society. He deserves something, but I think it's still a long way before Barry Bonds is accepted in baseball outside of San Francisco.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, and I still don't think this improves his odds of reaching the Hall of Fame in any way, shape, or form, though I'm impressed that you used Greg Anderson and hero in the same sentence. That might be a first. It's my turn now, and I'm going to turn to college football. Earlier this week, the University of Alabama, Birmingham announced that it was reinstating its football program. This news comes 6 months after financial concerns led UAB to drop its football program. And that, of course, prompted a loud outcry, calls to fire school president Ray Watts, and a free UAB movement. Now, I understand this is Alabama and college football is sacred. But I'm quite disappointed by the news that football is back at UAB. Not because I have anything against UAB football, but I really hoped that the university would be a trendsetter and start a serious conversation among smaller college football programs around the country about whether fielding football programs made sense. So, Bruce, what do you think about UAB football getting back in the game? Do we Americans have our priorities all out of whack?
Well, I mean, I think there's a pretty obvious answer to that question. UAB is just one minor symptom here. But what this is, this is an amazing thing. This is people deciding they're going to pay for their football just to keep it alive in this mid-level football program that outside of Alabama, no one ever really pays attention to. Nothing that has come across football's desk and the brain trauma and the painkiller addiction, and you can go up and down the list in terms of what's really hurt football image-wise, you'd think, has dissuaded Americans and, frankly, I'm going to be honest, Canadians from loving football. And so UAB, it would be nice to think that they would be leading some kind of charge, but their fans wouldn't let them. That's the power of football.
I got some serious flashbacks back when I first heard that UAB was cutting the program. I entered Boston University. I'm going to age myself here in the fall of 1998. Which was the first season in 91 years that there was no football at BU because they argued that the operating cost of $3 million a year was not basically worth it. And there were Title IX considerations also, of course. And you know, I always think back, you know, what would my college experience have been like if I'd had college football? And this is a situation that we've seen played out so many times across the country. I think that we're going to continue to see universities do this. And frankly, it's not a bad idea. I mean, you know, universities, when it comes to athletics, are operating more as a business these days than a nonprofit. So these are the sorts of considerations that are going to keep constantly popping up.
So you think there's hope, at least for me, to find another trendsetter in this whole debate, some other college program out there that's going to drop its football program and come to the realization that it's not working for them?
All this has happened before and all of this will happen again, I'm certain.
Okay, Bruce, what do you have for us?
Well, ESPN, of course, is a leading voice in the American sports landscape. There's almost nothing like it, either in Canada or the United States. It is a monster. It provides nearly 50% of Disney's cash flow. And of late, the biggest stars and the biggest network and power in American sports have started to leave. Bill Simmons, of course, was the biggest name, the man who founded the Grantland writing site, who started 30 for 30, who became the most popular sports columnist in America, which is an amazing sentence. After that, Keith Olbermann. Now, Keith Olbermann is a little less of a surprise. Keith has burned many a bridge in his time, including bridges at ESPN, but this time he didn't. He just maybe cost too much. And now Colin Cowherd, one of the stars of their radio stable, a guy who is a little more controversial than either of the other two, at least in my circles. And he's heading over to Fox Sports, where I think, let's be honest, he's going to fit in just fine. This is an amazing talent drain, because what ESPN is essentially saying is that because they've spent so much money on sporting rights, they are now cutting costs. And the costs they have decided to cut are their biggest stars.
You know, the Simmons one in particular really surprised me, because more than the other people that we've mentioned so far, he was responsible for not just bringing content, for bringing in talent.
And ideas, too.
And ideas, right. I mean, he brought so much more to the network than an Olbermann or a Colin Cowherd ever had. And to see ESPN rationalize that he wasn't worth the expense that they were paying him, that was the most surprising and in the end really disappointing, I think.
Yeah, I'm not buying the ESPN can't afford it argument either. I'm also not buying when ESPN president John Skipper says the departure of Simmons, Olbermann, and Cowherd was just business as usual. Please. I think there was also some control issues with ESPN. ESPN, I think, likes to control its talent. And, you know, one of the things that was problematic with Olbermann was that he wanted to do commentary and they didn't want him doing commentary. And Simmons was a very, very vocal critic of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. So I think, you know, they don't like, for lack of a better phrase, the inmates running the asylum.
Well, and with two of these, this circles back to football. Probably. If you believe that this isn't just about money, if you believe that this is also a creative control, and you're right, Shira, that ESPN is fanatical about controlling its talent to a degree. There's lots of churches there, but you can't have too many heretics. Bill Simmons, what was his most controversial thing that he did? He was suspended for calling Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, a liar. Keith Olbermann has been merciless in his criticism of the NFL, along with everybody else, but the NFL has been a really high-profile target. Colin Cowherd's just a jerk. He's a guy who's racist, who's vaguely racist against, now it's Dominicans in baseball. He's done John Wall's father stuff.
That to me is
a much easier transition out, but Simmons and Olbermann are different. This is America's dedication to football.
Well, I guess we'll all have to stay tuned. Our roundtable participants this week have been Bruce Arthur, sports columnist for the Toronto Star. Thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Shira.
And sports writer Eric Malinowski. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Shira.